to rub off on us so that we can go out and change the world. Father, we love you so much. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Come on, Matt.
Let's go, Matt.
All right. At some point today, we'll do a science experiment. Not today. All right, 1 sec. I'm just going to set up. You guys still feeling good?
Yeah.
All right. Guys, I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited to speak to you guys. I think this summer, we're doing a theme all about going where?
Deeper.
Going deeper. And last week, which was so appropriate, we talked about going deeper into
God's love.
God's love. And it was, I remember just sitting there and being, as Mark spoke before going back home or going back to camp, he just preached about the layers of God's love and how even before you did anything, God loved you. Before you even thought, before you made a mistake, in your deepest mistakes, that's where God loved you.
Yeah.
And we can't help but say after that love, that's so immense, that's so deep, that compels us to do all these things, we have to change.
Yeah.
Knowing who God is inspires us to change. I think there's a quality about God that goes even deeper than that. You know, it's kind of this idea of what is it that inspires us to change? What is it about God that makes us want to be different? And I think tonight, if we could go anywhere, I want to go deeper in talking about God's holiness. You know, holiness is a word that I think we throw around a lot. Holy smokes. Holy Mother Maria, you know, like all these, holy, you know, holy cow, holy cannoli Batman, right? We say all these different things, but holy, even though I was trying to get a definition of holy, it would be paired with the Holy Spirit, it'd be paired with all these different words. We think of this word holy, and it's kind of hard to get your teeth around it. And that's okay, because when we go to the word holy, it really can't be found. It can't be grasped. You know, the Greek word is irrelevant for this, but what it really means, if you go back to the word holy, it means to be set apart. It means to be, it's apartness, it's separateness, it's this sacredness. But one of my favorite definitions that I found for this Greek word of holiness was that it's totally other.
Yes.
When something is holy, that means that it's totally other. It's not of the norm. It's not even of the same material makeup. It's completely different, completely set apart. And when I think about this, and I think about holiness, you know, obviously we think about God, but turn your Bibles over with me to Isaiah chapter 6. You know, it's encouraging. Sometimes when you get to speak, you know, you get given a topic that's maybe not up your alley, but for me, when it comes to this topic of holiness, it comes from my favorite scripture in the entire Bible, Isaiah chapter 6. The title of my lesson tonight is His Holiness. I got 2 points for you. We're going to break it down, do a little science experiment, and we'll get out of here. Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 1. At one point in time, I had this memorized. But a little bit of background and kind of what's going on here. This is Isaiah's commission. This is when, you guys know the prophet Isaiah? You guys know what he's known for? He's known as a prophet that stuck his hand out to a generation and people didn't change. He preached and he preached and he preached and he communicated God's word, but people were obstinate to what he was doing. This is a man of deep sorrows. This is a man who people have turned their back against him. Preaching to the nations, yet there's just so much hurt that he faced, but yet we still talk about him today. And for a man like that, we gotta ask, what was his beginning? What inspired this character? And it starts off in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. But try to imagine yourself watching this as if you were there. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, which are angels, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voice, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." We'll stop there. What an incredible passage about God's holiness, is it not? You just imagine Isaiah standing there, and as he looks up at the King, at the Creator, he grew up hearing the stories about God, and now he stands before God himself, and he sees angels, countless angels flying around the throne with six wings, with two wings that cover their face, because God is too set apart. God is so perfect and so holy, even the angels can't properly look at him. With two wings, they cover their feet, because feet are unclean. And so they cover themselves, because their feet aren't even worthy of being in the presence of God. With two wings, they're flying. And what are they doing? They're not just calling to one another. I envision them shouting to one another. It says that the doorposts and the thresholds shook. Whether that's at the glory of the God or the sound of their voice, they're yelling to one another and declaring how holy God is. And I love this story because this is what our heaven's going to be like. One day we're going to stand before God and we're going to call out to him and we're going to cry to him. We're going to yell to him. We're going to sing to him in such a way that the thresholds and even the house we're standing in can't take it. It's going to shake because God is holy. God is set apart. I want to ask you today, do you see God as totally other? Do you see God as holy? Because if you see God as holy, you will respond the way that Isaiah responds. Do you see God as holy? So my first point is, God is holy. All throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, many times we see this phrase, "I am." You guys familiar with that?
Yeah.
God oftentimes references himself as the great I am. And I always, you know, I don't know about you guys, but when you read that, I am what? Okay, I am. It's like, did the editors forget to put a word in there? I am God. I am, you know, King. I am, it's like dot, dot, dot. There's nothing. It's just I am in the capital letters I saw in my Bible. As I thought more and more about that, trying to rack my mind around who God is, you know, this idea of I am is the perfect word to define who God is. Do you think about this? All things good come from God. So when you say love, typically we kind of create some sort of facet of what love is in our lives. We go, okay, well, the way that my best friend, he really takes care of me, that's love. Okay, that's good. That's a good version of love. Or when, you know, I do this, that's okay, that's love. Or peace. I've been sitting on the side of the beach in Malibu, my feet kicked up, that's peace. That's what I'm talking about, right? Or you talk about joy and being ecstatic. You think about all these good things, right? And we have that in our own definition of what those things are. And we could define it by our experiences and whatnot. But what's amazing is that when God says, "I am," you can fit any word that is a positive word after that phrase, "I am," and God accomplishes that in perfection. God is love.
Right.
100%. In him there is not one ounce of anything but love. He and everything in his being is love. Therefore, he can't not love. Never for a second does he stop loving. God is peace. Never for a second does God stop being peace. When you feel discomfort, when you feel insecurity, when you feel a lack of peace, we try to medicate it with all these different things. But then we realize that in every bit of perfection, God is peace. Not just our version of peace, but he is the wellspring of peace. He is the ocean of peace. He is peace in perfection. He is the great I am. He is strong. He is faith. He is mighty. Fill in the blank, whatever that is for you, wherever you're struggling, and you got to recognize that the opposite of that on the positive end, that is God in perfection. Turn with me to keep your finger in Isaiah 6. If you have a, this is why a physical Bible is good. If you don't have a physical Bible, you can't put your finger anywhere unless you get electrocuted. But 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, talking about God's holiness. God is so set apart. And when it goes on to say in the New Testament, God is light, that means that in him is complete light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he goes, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. We claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness." You a liar. "And you do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." God, like I said, is holy. He is completely light. We talk about this when we study up sin to understand how good God is. But what we don't realize often is that this is talking about his holiness. Is that in God's light, even in the vicinity of God's light, even in his home, even in his country, even in his dwelling place, there can't be darkness. That can't surround him. That can't be close to him or touching him. And you better believe for every fact of your being that God cannot have any darkness as a part of who he is. He is good. He is pure. He is love. And ultimately, he is holy. And because of God being so set apart and being so holy, we come and approach him and we say we're walking in the light. We say we're in the light, but we're actually walking in the darkness. God's like, "I know who you are. You can't be around me." It's almost like going to the TSA when you go to the airport, right? You're flying down to Haiti or something like that, Shauna. And when you're going through and you're walking through, then you've got like 16 knives and you got gold chains and you got all these stuff. The metal detector goes off and it's like, "Oh, you can't go in." Right? And the TSA people take you aside like they did Alex. And he was in JFK Newark Airport Security for an hour and a half. They thought he was a terrorist. But they take you aside and they go, "No, you can't come into this country." He made it through, just saying. Because you got all this filth on you. You got all this nonsense on you. You can't get into my country. You can't get onto this airport. You can't go through the gate to get where you need to go. We got to understand and we got to respect the fact that God is holy. And we have to respect that with our being. We got to know that in our day-to-day life is that we serve a God that is so in all perfection perfect. We serve a God that it's amazing how he can still sympathize with our needs. It is so above and totally different. And because he's in perfection, because he's totally perfect, He really can't dwell with us and be with us, but he still wants to be. Yeah. What?
Right.
And I want to challenge your thinking tonight. Is that if you think God is let me see. If you think God is close to someone who's in the dark, it's true, but in the same way, it's so far apart. God loves desperately those who aren't saved and in the light, but at the same time, they just can't even be touching. They can't be in union because God is so holy. You guys with me?
Yeah.
I love thinking about heaven. We're talking about God is holy. We'll get to the point about us being holy and hopefully get some science up in here. But, you know, you think about heaven and what heaven's going to be like. And I just want you guys to understand the contrast of what we're talking about here, God being holy, is that it says heaven, well, God will give us 100 times greater than what we could ever ask or imagine, right? He'll give us more than we could ever ask or imagine. So I want you guys to take a second and to imagine heaven. Go for it. All right, what do you see? What is heaven like for you, Amon?
For me?
Yeah. What's heaven? what did you just spend the last 15 seconds doing?
To go everywhere, like shining everything.
Yeah.
Everything new.
I picture
the streams, the water,
the
life, and the tree of life.
Mm. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
Sky. I know I see like kind of God's creation and like the beauty of that, but like times like a million, like to like what we see now.
Yeah.
So like green grass.
Yeah. That's good. We'll do two more. One, two. Alex first.
Just
joyful.
Like so happy, like there's never an anguish here, never like sorrowful situation.
Yeah.
That like hurts you.
Yeah. It's awesome, Charles.
That was the same thing I was gonna say.
Wow, that's what you guys are next to each other. That's true. You know? You think about these things. You think about in your greatest imagination what heaven's gonna be like. Maybe what God's going to be like. And my vision heaven is, for me, it's more than just, I Daryl Jones it a little bit. It's more than just the visual. It's like my senses are on fire. My senses are multiplied and infinitely compounded. I think about, wow, what's it going to be like to smell in heaven? What's it going to be like to touch in heaven, right? And in my mind, in your minds, you conceive an idea of maybe what heaven's going to be like. Okay. But then the Bible says it's infinitely greater than what you could even imagine. Really? It's truth. And when you think about what heaven's like, you can't even think about it because it's so much greater than that. And you think about heaven, you think about God, and you can't even do that. If you were to think about God properly, you'd probably internally combust because he's so holy. We gotta respect God for his holiness. And when you respect God for his holiness, it's more than just going, you know, bowing down at church. It's responding with a life of, wow, God, you are who you are. When you see God as holy, when you see God as so set apart, as a result, you will change. And what's cool is we go back to Isaiah chapter 6. God is holy, point number one. And I will be holy is point number two. He cries in verse 5. Woe to me, I cried, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and he had taken from the tongs from the altar. When it touched my mouth, and said, see, this touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord calling, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isn't that crazy? You can read the Bible and that's God's voice.
Yeah.
Maybe not God's voice, but those are God's words. Wow. We had to hear from the Creator Himself. "Whom shall I send?" And I said, "Isaiah, here am I. Send me." When you recognize God's holiness, when you recognize how contrast you are as a measly human being, full of dirt, full of moles, and you probably got some warts somewhere, you got, you know, some excess body fat. It's like, what? God wants me? And He does. Does it make sense? You don't have to understand it, but it's the truth is that God wants you. In His holiness, He wants you. And so He comes over. And Isaiah 6 is essentially an allusion to what happens with Jesus, is that He comes from His throne, goes down to us, touches us, and heals us, and forgives us completely. We're atoned for. We go from a dirty old rag to a completely clean being. We are made holy by the only being that can make us holy.
Right.
And we stand before God completely clean. We stand before God without blemish, without fault, and we can stand in the presence of God. You know, that's a hard thing to fathom, but that's where you stand today if you're right with God. If you've repented and you've been baptized and you've made Jesus Lord of your life, right now you stand before God, the God of heaven, the God of earth, the God of your infinite imagination, multiplied by infinity. You stand before Him in harmony with Him. It's amazing. And even when you sin, God still looks at you as that holy, unblemished piece of white cloth. Now that's a crazy thing. And you go, well, since I got baptized, I've sinned. Or maybe I haven't got baptized. Well, let's talk after. But I've sinned since I got right with God. So am I unblemished? Well, that's not how that works. Is that when God's grace, when He forgives you and atones for your sins, He does that. I mean, we could talk about when you leave that grace. That's a much longer conversation. We'll get Steve Kinnard up in here for that. But I think just in general, where you are right now, have confidence, brothers and sisters, is that God has made you holy. Now, Brielle's going to come up, and she's going to help me with my science experiment.
Mm.
Careful of your ring.
You go there.
Can you guys all see this? Yes. All right. Guys, you still with me?
Yeah.
All right. So here you are. Minus the tag. This is expensive, guys. It's $5. So here you are. You're expensive. God made you. Unblemished. Pure. Holy, without fault, without being, without any separation from God. God sees you, and you walk through that metal detector. You walk through, and you're in. God and you are together when you're born. Then you grow up. You got a little bit of sin here and there. A little bit of stuff. A little bit dirty, right? If this works correctly, this should be hopefully powerful. But then you stand before God. You stand before God, and God goes, "Oh, well, you're not able to be with me. Because I can only be with pure, clean rags." I wanna say people, but you'll think that's racist, so I'm not gonna say that. So pure, clean rags. So, here you stand before God. God sends his son Jesus in the redemption process. You connect with him because of his love, because of his forgiveness. In baptism, you unite with him in his death. Completely clean. You're made holy. God looks at you and you go, you're mine. Regardless of what you've done. Because you've connected with my son, you are now mine. You are holy. You've made holy. And kind of take a pause here. Oh, it's going to bleach my pants, baby. Come on. I don't even know how to do this. Keep up to Ephesians 5.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
It's like pressure to find it.
Guys, don't try this at home.
Ephesians 5? That's it? Yeah.
That's not it, sir. Ephesians 4. So guys, here it goes. Your mistakes, they're pretty big since you've been a disciple. Raise your hand if you've been a hot mess since you became a disciple.
Praise the Lord.
All of us. God's holiness. When God himself comes down and makes you holy. He says in Ephesians 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life. Oh, sorry. The bleach is getting you guys. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you received. When God makes you holy, whether you are perfect, which you're not, but when God makes you holy, this is the way he looks at you. Even though you might act a little hot messish, you might do all these different things, God goes, this is what I've made you become. Now live a life worthy of the calling you receive. When God made you holy, he goes, now live up to what I've made you. When you've been made holy, your personal life changes. Your purity changes. You're set apart. When you're home alone, you don't do what the world does. You don't bring your phone into your bed and watch pornography. You don't let that inside your house. When you're holy, you do whatever it takes to be totally other. You watch the stats. That stuff's crazy. Everybody does it. But if you've been made holy, are you living a life worthy of the calling you've received? Or are you letting yourself fade in with everybody else? When it comes to your times with God, are your times with God holy? Are they totally other? You know, when God decided to save you, when God chose you and took you out of the world, he didn't call you to be like every other quote-unquote good person. He called you to be a disciple of him. And that's radical. And that's holy. Is your time with God matching what we know to be the quote-unquote Christian standard? Are you reading every once in a while, or are you feasting on God's word every day, making an effort to be holy in that way? When you've been made holy, your public ministry changes. Your schedule changes. Your summer changes. When you think about your schedule for the summer, it's not just beach day, Netflix, gym, go home, repeat. When you've been made holy, you're totally other than what every other college student's doing. Yeah. You're on campus sharing your faith. Yeah. You're in Bible studies. You're challenging yourself. You're not letting yourself be like everyone else because you are unstained. This is who you are. And what's crazy about this is that when God, well, dunk again, don't do this with your actual life, right? When God made you holy, you got a whole lost world out there. Then when you dip it in there, this is your power to what you can do to this world. Your holiness is contagious. Your holiness has an impact. Because of what God's made you, your holiness is meant to have an impact on others. You weren't made to be holy just so that you can put up on a shelf and watch it glow. No, you were made to be holy so that you can impact others.
Right.
Are you living a holy life? So guys, think about that today. Think about that as you go forth, but really think about that as you pray to your God. As you think about who God is. You think about how perfect and how love, how peace. God is love. God is peace. That's who you're praying to. God is able. God is strong. God is capable of doing all these things. That's who you talk to. That's who you live for. And this is who God made you. Now live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And that calling is to be holy. God says, be holy as I am holy. And that's what we're ought to do. How are you going to live your summer? How are you going to live your life? What are you going to do differently tomorrow? Write it down, make a decision. May God be the glory. Amen.